Black Life Podcast. And we're back. Welcome to the Medical episode of something, something, something. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Yo. We got to talk about the new set. Can you believe it? There's another new set.
It never ends, man.
It never ends, but you know, honestly, there has been quite a bit of time since the last new set. You know, just based on the experience of summer just being like this one after the next, seems like every week we're talking about a new set in the summertime. So we've had a little break in there. So now we've got Kaladym coming out. And Kaladym is like this Nordic Viking. It seems kind of Lorwyn-esque. There's like a tribal theme to it. There are wolves. There are sagas. There are gods. It's really pretty cool. Mastodon did a spoiler for it, like the band Mastodon. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, they were like in the studio. They did a little like they spoiled the Fliplands. What do you call this cycle? The enemy or ally? I can never get those straight.
The pathways is what I call them.
The pathways, but these are the enemy ones, right?
No. So they just released six of the pathways in the modal Double Faces Endicar set.
Yeah.
And then they just released the other four. They're just the other four because one of them is blue white, just allied. And then like two of, I think green black is allied, or green blue is allied. Black green is enemy. Like so, it's a mix. It's just the other four.
Yeah, it's weird how they did that unbalanced like that. They did six in the last set, now they're only doing four. Strange. I wonder if that means they'll be featuring some more like utility lands in this set, because you know we got to have some nice rare lands to waste all our wild cards on, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyways, I dig the theme of this one a lot. Sometimes they speak to me. Sometimes I'm like, you know, not buying in. It doesn't really matter what I think. You know, there's a different theme for everybody. But this one I'm particularly fond of. Very excited about Kaladym.
Yeah, like the Norse god stuff. It's awesome. Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that today. Before we get into that, I do need to give a little shout out to our sponsor, ManaTraders.com. You can use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, for 14% off your first 3 months at checkout. ManaTraders.com can give you the wonderful subscription rental service for MTGO products as well as paper products. Once again, that is CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, no spaces, no hyphens, and that gives you 14% off your first 3 months. So Daryl's looking at this for like the first time today. So you are like a kid at a candy store, a kid on Christmas morning, or whatever analogy you'd like to use here in this case. But
pathways, good. Good mana, good. Having good mana, extra good.
Pathways,
very, very good.
Before we go on from pathways, have you played many pathways in Modern or Commander?
No, I have not.
Commander?
I have not. I've played zero pathways at all. I have not purchased a new Magic card in a while.
But overall,
my imagination,
yeah,
I have not played against a pathway or with a pathway.
Okay,
I would imagine that they're just fine. They're just like fetch lands. They're pickable basics, right? Like,
they're great.
So I feel like that's good. I mean, these are good, right?
Yeah, I mean they're completely unoffensive at the very least. Like they are great at being a painless mana fixing. But I think the problem is we just have so many choices that like they don't fit into a whole lot of decks unless you are just like a two color deck and you're like, okay, there's really no reason not to include like the Henchgate pathway or the Bright Step pathway in the black red deck. But when you're in like the 3 and 4 and 5 color decks, it's like there's really not room for those, and sometimes they get a little awkward.
You have too many choices. Yeah.
Okay. All right, go on.
Yeah, pathways, good mana is good. Let's see. I'm just going to start from the top left cards I can see, which is Holivar, God of Battle. 4 mana, 4/4, 2 white, Legendary God. It's a flip card. Enchanted creatures you control, or creatures you control that are enchanted or equipped have double strike. At the beginning of each combat, you may attach an aura or equipment attached to a creature you control to target creature you control. And then on the backside, he's actually an equipment for 1 and a white, Sword of the Realms. Equipped creature has +2 plus +0 and vigilance. When a creature dies, return to its owner's hand, equipped for 1 and a white.
Uh-huh.
This card is very powerful. It's going to see standard play for sure. Just because the backside is so good. Like, It turns every one of your creatures into an unkillable threat. They have to exile their threats. And if those creatures haven't entered the battlefield ability, it becomes a nightmare for your opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, it does return to your hand instead of the battlefield, but I mean,
yeah,
that's still very strong.
But in a game of attrition, all you want is an extra resource. And so this thing always giving you an extra resource and like making your opponent constantly not do things on their turn to hold up their removal to prevent you from equipping this.
Yeah.
And getting your extra resource again is just a nightmare.
Yeah, it's interesting that we have this optional equipment creature now. This is the first time we're seeing something like this. We've had creatures and equipment that have like flipped into like the opposite before. There's like Erebris or whatever, and like obviously that card is like huge mana cost and probably not likely to see any standard play or modern play or whatever. But this one has the advantage of being a creature when you need a creature and an equipment when you need a creature, and those two things fill very different roles when you're top decking or when you have a loaded board and you just need something to like break through. Now, the equipment doesn't quite provide the like evasion that you'd like to get from an equipment, but it does provide the opportunity to like attack and then still hold a blocker back if, you know, like maybe you don't have nearly as many creatures to as your opponent to like attack and then hold back blockers.
Yeah, Vigilance plays good defense. Unfortunately, you cannot Stoneforge for this guy because that would be very nice.
Yeah, that would be
cool. To be able to play Stoneforge, go get the sword, and have just like a 4/4/4 in your hand, if that was the case. So that like when you equip the Sword of Fire and Ice, you could give your guy double strike and go kind of go to town. But I mean, this is still pretty dope. I think it's going to be a good commander for EDH. I think you'll see standard play. Probably Pioneer play too. Not so much historic. Man. Or not so much... Modern, sorry. I know nothing of historic.
probably not historic.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But this guy has the showcase treatment going on as well. I don't know if you saw that, Daryl, but very cool looking. The showcase frame is like this Celtic, runic type of thing. And completely different art and very, very neat. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% great. Like,
yep.
I'm just gonna keep on bopping along here. Kaya the Inexorable. 3 and a white, a black for a legendary planeswalker Kaya with 5 loyalty. Plus put a ghost form counter to one target non-token creature, it gains whenever this creature dies, put it in exile. Return it to its owner's hand and create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. -3 exile target non-land permanent. -7, you get an emblem with at the beginning of your upkeep. You may cast a legendary spell from your hand, from your graveyard, or from among the cards you own in exile without paying the same cost. Mm-hmm. This card seems pretty dope.
Yeah, it's cool.
Ghost form seems pretty strong. Again, another grindy engine of like, when they kill your creature, you get it back. You get a 1/1 spirit to play defense. Protects itself by exiling a permanent, which is important with our good buddy. What's his name? Halvar, for his sword. And then the -7 just seems pretty ridiculous. Just like you get a free spell every turn.
Yeah. Yeah, John and I were talking about this one. John, friend of the podcast. And I was hating on it a little bit because it's just like a very traditional design for a 5-mana planeswalker. It's like the 5-mana planeswalker that has like 4 or 5 loyalty, the +1 is like make a token, the -3 is like some kind of removal, and the -6, 7, or 8 is like you just functionally like get some advantage that basically wins you the game. And this kind of does that, yep. But the +1 version of it is a little bit more unique than that, I suppose, because the whole like return a creature to your owner's hand when it dies is something that we haven't seen before. So that seems a little more Kaya.
Or exile, by the way.
Or exile, yeah. So you could even like, you could do weird things where you're like blinking your own creature back to your hand. I don't know that you'd want to do that, but
I don't know. No, probably not. Probably not. And if you're blinking your creature, you'd just rather have it blink and come into play for free and then have to recast it. But yeah.
Non-land permanent is cool, though. Exile non-land permanent. Yeah, that's pretty functional.
Important.
Yeah.
But I think I said my piece on Kai. Good card. You're going to see standard play.
Yep.
Might see Pioneer play. Probably nothing else.
Okay. Commander play.
I don't Yeah. Oh, yeah. Commander, obviously. I don't care about the Brazen Outlaw. Do you want to talk about him?
No, we can go on.
All right, perfect. Realm Walker is the next one, though. Two and a green for a change for a creature shapeshifter 2/3 with changeling, so it's all creature types. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast creature spells of the chosen type from the top of your library. Unless, I mean, there's a heavy tribal theme, supposedly, in this set. We've only got, 11 cards, four of them are pathways, whatever. But if there's a big tribal theme, then, this guy is a splashable engine into many different tribal decks to give you a bunch of card advantage. This seems very good. It will be insane in EDH.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at these changelings and I'm getting very excited for my Reaper King deck, because Reaper King is one of those decks that the tribe itself is really terrible. They're like maybe one or two like playable scarecrows, and so you're really relying on like the really good changelings to, make the tribe go. So seeing things like Realm Walker gets you excited for, some hope that there might be some more worth including. This guy is cool for sure, and I'm looking at this as a green creature that lets you play stuff off the top of your deck, and this just looks like an elf to me, right? Like, that's a very good elf.
I mean, it's Vizier of the Menagerie, essentially, for a tribe, which Vizier of the Menagerie wasn't... I mean, it saw some sideboard play in Standard, so, like, this will see some sideboard play in your tribal deck.
Yeah.
It's most definitely an elf. That's the first, first tribe we can all think of for green.
Yep.
I could see this getting splashed to some various different decks, though. Like, maybe you're interested in splashing green in your Historic Goblins deck for this guy. Because it's a goblin. You can shoot it up with Goblin Nation. And just have, like, more... You could have more snoops. They're not the combo-style snoop, but it's, like, a grindy snoop. That's just the kind of stuff I think about.
Yeah, I don't know if this makes Historic Goblins, but Historic Elves, potentially. It is, you can Collected Company it into play, and I think that's pretty important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just was the thought of, if you want more snoops for, a grindier game, this is another snoop you can play.
Yeah.
Gives you the cards to your library. I don't care about the Realm Eater particularly, but people probably like this card.
Yes, the wolf guy. Whenever a permanent opponent controls the opponent of graveyard from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, if it has one or more +1/+1 counters on it, you may remove all of them. If you do, exile each other non-land permanent with a confirmed mana cost less than or equal to the number of +1/+1 counters this way. This is like a commander card to me. This is...
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is actually pretty good. If there's just a generic way to provide counters. If you're killing your opponent's stuff and putting counters on this, you don't need to exile your opponent's stuff. But if you just, play this and then dump some counters on it, it's like a super pernicious deed. It exiles everything.
Yeah.
Except for itself, so then you can recur it and do it again. Kind of unexciting to me. Commander, staple, I think. People will play it as a commander to have, a pernicious deed in their command zone for, a grainy green black deck or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun general to build around.
Absolutely. Showdown of the Scalds. So we have a Saga, 2 and a white and a red for Enchantment Saga. Exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may cast those. Whenever you cast a spell this turn for 2 and 3, whenever you cast a spell this turn, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control. So this is a 4-mana red-white spell that's going to draw you 4 cards and then pump your creatures.
Yeah. That's really
good.
It
feels like a very, very good curve topper for a red-white aggressive deck. Because, you're going to tap out for this and draw 4 cards that you can play next turn. They're all going to be... And then you can choose to put counters on creatures that are already on the battlefield or ones that you cast from exile with this card.
Yeah, this will do, Fires of Invention type things, I think.
I think less so Fires of Invention type things, because you still have to pay for the cards. And Fires, the whole thing that broke Fires was that you got to
play
cards for free.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of
Escape of the Wilds.
No, I'm thinking of Experimental Frenzy. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, okay, I am more on board with that comparison.
Yeah.
Less infinite, but more on board with the comparison.
Yeah,
Yeah, this is just a really solid red white card. I think this is definitely standard play. I can see it creeping in a Pioneer, see it creeping in a Historic if there's like a red white aggressive deck. But that's about as far as it goes. I don't think it makes it to Modern. Commander will certainly play this card. Any red white draw four is very acceptable.
This could be a good curve topper as like a one of and like a feather type deck. I don't see those really in Historic anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think this makes them better, but people are always trying feather decks. This seems to like, I mean,
be feathery.
Obviously, it doesn't like do things specifically with feather, but just giving you more. I don't know. Maybe it's not good in there. I don't know. Probably isn't. It's probably not necessary. All right. Are we talking about Pyro of Heroes?
I mean, that's the next card. That's the last card, other than
That's the last card in the set. So Pyro of Heroes is the faux birthing pod, and this one also has the showcase treatment, which is just full art. Unfortunately, I wish they would have given it better art, but we'll take it. Two mana artifact. It has pay to tap, sacrifice a creature, search your library for a creature card that shares a creature type with the sacrificed creature, and has converted mana cost equal to 1 plus that creature's converted mana cost. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Activate as a sorcery. So it is birthing pod for a creature of the same type. But it costs, let's see. So birthing pod, you can play for 3 and then activate for 1 if you were to pay the Phyrexian mana. This one you can play for 2 and activate for 2. So the net cost on the first turn is the same as birthing pod, but on all subsequent turns, you can't discount that second mana for the activations. So you're paying the full 2 every time. So it's like more expensive overall. And then also has the disadvantage of being limited to the same creature type. So it's definitely worse than Birthing Pod, and I don't think they'll ever make that mistake again. But this card is very powerful, and I can guarantee you that someone will find some sort of combo, and probably in an environment as wide as Modern, where there is a creature type combo to be had with Pyro of Heroes.
Ooh, can I play?
Yeah, what do you got?
Goblins.
Yeah, goblins. Yeah, that's true. I didn't consider goblins, but you're right. The red-black goblins deck in Modern was already very, very powerful, and I think that deck is still good.
Right. So if you sacrifice the Putrid Goblin as part of the cost for this, does the goblin go on the stack first for persist, and then you get to search for a goblin? So you activate this, go get Grumgully, and then put your guy back in with a counter, so he nets free, and so you can just infinitely search for 3 drops.
I don't think so. I think your Putrid Goblin persists first, doesn't it?
I would be sure. I don't know. I'm literally stupid, and I don't know the answer to this. Because I didn't really play the creature combo decks, so I just don't know it. If it persists first, then ignore my idea. It's terrible. If it persists second, that's pretty broken, and you can just then the turn after that, you can sacrifice your I think it's called Putrid.
Yeah, yeah. It would persist first because sacrifice is part of the cost, right?
Okay. Yeah. So that's why I thought it would go on the stack before the pod.
Yeah.
So the persist would go on first and then the pod type effect. And if it goes on in that way, then you just get to win the game next turn because you just this guy persists, gets a counter, has no counters. You pod him away again for 2 mana. He persists, has no counters. You go get Goblin Matron, you Goblin Matron for Skirk Prospector, you can make infinite mana and do something, do infinite mana things. Or you can, it's really weird.
Well, I think there's still something here in Goblins, obviously. You're just looking to acquire the combination of 2 Goblins to basically win the game. And this is a good way to do that.
Extra level of consistency.
Yeah, yeah. There's probably enough stuff going on with elves to do something.
Elves?
I'm trying to think of what it could be. I don't know.
Some sort of combo elves,
yeah. And maybe there's enough crossover where you can do a couple of tribes, and this just plays into that. You've got Noble Hierarchs to do human into human with Noble Hierarch into Vizier of Remedies and Llanowar Elf into Devoted Druid. It's a little clunky and awkward, but it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, cards like Eternal Witness as a human shaman are pretty good. So just kind of human wizards is a nice tribe to
that's true.
Gap.
Yeah. Oh man, that could be fun.
So there's all sorts of different tribal synergies you can do with multi-tribe things, and There's always, you know, if you got a changeling floating around, those are always good. So, like, you can get anything.
Oh, even better. Someone posted in the comments here, devoted druid is a druid, noble hierarch is a druid human. I didn't notice that.
Oh, there you go. So you can get both parts.
Yeah, so noble hierarch can go into vizier or devoted druid. Wow, that's sweet. Okay. I'm all in on this one then. Yeah, definitely gonna try this in modern.
Looks like we're cooking with gas here. That's pretty good. But yeah, no, I this card is, it's just you have to figure out how to like build around it. This one is my favorite card because like less than Birthing Pod. Like this card, like Birthing Pod is blatantly powerful and we all knew it. We didn't figure out how powerful once people started playing with it. But like looking at this card is more of a puzzle because it's like, you know, how far across this can I go? Because like if I have a goblin wizard, is there a wizard that I can combo with that I can effectively cast in my goblin deck that would do something helpful? Or, you know, if I have, like you said, a human druid. I
Yeah.
need a druid or a human, I can like start to cobble these combos together.
Yep, yep.
Or can I just play a good value game? Because, you know, you can turn your vizier into a human and get an eternal witness and get your vizier back. Like, that's the kind of stuff you have the availability to do in decks like that. So I think it's really cool, and I'm interested to see what people come up with.
Yep, also another one I like is Renegade Rallier is a human.
Yeah.
And Renegade
Catch
Rallier
them.
will trigger by default. When you sacrifice a
Because you
creature.
potted away your Vizier remedies,
Yeah.
so you just get an extra 3/2 body in play. That seems fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are all relatively reasonable things.
So green-based humans combo.
I think Elementals, like the deck, is just interested in this because you can pot away like Voice of Resurgence for Risen Reef.
Oh,
That seems like,
elementals. Oh, okay.
yeah. And there's a lot of different color and various different strength elementals, so like
Risen Reef. Risen, oh, the three drop that Coiling Oracles.
draws
Yeah.
your cards.
Yep.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Oh,
I
right
think
on.
that's the foundation of a pod deck there, of just like value pod.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
you'll be missing Kitchen Finks in all of these decks because there's probably not enough oofs to make this work, but
Yeah. No oofies.
yeah, but you can
No.
always like okay, so here's the thing. Like this set brings up a like all of these changelings, right? Like the changelings are always like this pivot point. Like if there's a three drop or a two drop changeling, you just need to throw like one or two of them in your deck, and then that's like your stopgap between like humans and like, you know, whatever other tribe you need to get to for your combo.
Yeah, and God forbid one
Or
of those two
convert.
mana or three mana changelings is like good, like it like
Yeah.
draws you a card or gains you two life or something, like
Yeah.
then you're just like actually in business.
Well, Chameleon Colossus is an infinite mana sink. So is the white one, Mirror Entity.
Yeah. So like you could theoretically make infinite mana on turn three question. So if you go like Noble Hierarch into Devoted Druid.
Yeah.
You could play the pot on turn three, pot away for Vizier, make infinite mana. You can't untap the pod, so you don't have an untapper, is the problem there. Because if you could untap the pod type thing, you could go get devoted, or you could go get Mirror Entity and make an infinite and attack for a lethal attack on turn three. So, like,
Yeah.
you're a turn slower with this pod type thing.
What was that Crasis guy that untapped?
Bounding Crisis?
Yeah, he's not a an elf, is he?
No, not that I'm aware of. I don't know. I
My
haven't played
name.
decks.
He's
I
a
don't
fish lizard. That's not gonna work.
know. Not helpful game. Thank you.
Untapping the artifact would be nice. We gotta work on that one. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
There's
I
a
got
lot to
the.
like here. The guy that we just talked about might fit into this too, if we're already talking tribal decks. So that three mana like Vizier of Menagerie might just be a little value option. Tireless Tracker is a human that gives you value, you know. There oh man, this is cool. Okay. Gonna have some fun with this one.
Corey's brain is spinning. I've spent Corey spinning out into like a disaster zone.
I haven't thought about creature toolbox in a long time. I haven't really thought about modern in a long time, but this might be enough to get me back involved. I might have to fire up the old Mana Traders account and get this thing pieced together pretty soon.
Dust off the old Birthing Pod cards.
That's right. Oh God, so I haven't touched those in a while.
Let's take a look at the theme and booster set cards. None of these particularly excite. Like one of them is kind of cool. Two of them are kind of cool.
Yeah.
The rest of them don't particularly excite me.
Yeah. So real quick, these come from the theme and set boosters. The set boosters are like, if you're not familiar, I had to look this up because I really haven't been following like the standard products. I would like only buy singles. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're maybe a little bit more on the competitive side. You probably haven't like purchased a lot of like packs, right? At least I hope you haven't spent too much money on packs because, let me give you a little newsflash here. You're better off buying singles in this game. You're going to be wasting a lot of money on bulk rares. All right. So yep. If you buy the packs and you buy the set boosters, the way that these break down is there's like a bunch of like seated cards in the packs that like fit a theme. And I think they're basically geared towards new players who are like looking to build new decks. So you'll find a bunch of like bulk commons that are like, you know, fitting the life gain theme that are like you gain life or when you gain life, something happens or like are similar in color. And then there's like certain slots that have like a mythic rare in them and then a foil card that could be common, uncommon, mythic, etc., etc. There's a full art art card. There is a token or ad card that has a chance of being a card from the list, which the list is kind of like sort of like the time spiral, like old cards reprinted. There's like a certain chance that you could get that. So these cards only appear in the theme and set boosters. So they are standard legal, but they're not in the regular packs. And they kind of seem like they're mostly geared towards like a little bit more of the casual crowd for the most part. But I could see how they'd appeal to Commander players. And a few of them are really getting me excited for some Commander designs in particular. But, Daryl, you go first. Okay. You had something in mind?
Yes. Certland Elementalist. It's 5 blue-blue for a creature giant wizard. 8/8. As an additional cost to cast this, reveal a giant card from your hand or pay 2 more. So it's a 9 mana creature if you don't have a giant. Whenever it attacks, you may cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, all right. Cool. This is another big strong, another big fatty.
Yeah, it's a big fatty that like gives you free mana.
Do you remember those like really big, those oversized cards that they used to print like as promos? I forgot where you get those. They were like from the fat packs or something like that.
Yeah.
They were like 3 times the size of a regular card. Would that count as a giant card?
No.
Okay.
All right. Your turn.
All right. Absorb Identity has got me really excited because I'm a really big fan of Mirror Mirror Weave.
This is the only card that I like other than the giant. So let's talk about it. And
okay.
I'm done with these.
I will definitely be playing this in my Changeling decks. Absorb Identity is 1 in a blue for an instant. It's an uncommon. It says, return target creature to its owner's hand. You may have shapeshifters you control become copies of that creature until end of turn. So for 2 mana, you can bounce your opponent's biggest, most threatening creature and then have like 3 of your shapeshifters become a copy of it and then beat them over the head with it for playing it. I love that. That's a pretty powerful swing for 2 mana.
Oh my god, I just thought of the most blatant thing, and I'm so glad that it's no longer a thing you can do.
What's that?
Imagine if Primeval Titan was still legal in Commander when you cast this card.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's not even the worst thing you can do.
Bounce your opponent's Primeval Titan, attack, get 6 lands.
Yeah, you can do many, many more powerful things than that. I mean, just imagine there's certainly an Elementalist that gets bounced, and you get to do that to them, for example.
So remember
when Mirror Weave was a deck in Standard, it was the Boat Brew when they had that it was like the GP on the cruise ship. They had Mirror Weave and there were Lieges in Standard at the time, and they were those hybrid cost creatures that gave like all blue creatures +1/+1 and all white creatures +1/+1. And so you mirror weave all of your tokens. You made a bunch of tokens, and you mirror weave all of them into a liege. And so then all of your tokens effectively became all of your dudes get +2/+2, and it was just like this multiplying force of, you know.
Actually, yeah, I saw that. I also saw people do it with just Wizensen and Kithkin, just making all their Wizensen.
Yes, Kithkin were the shit. They need to bring those guys back.
I'm good. I have enough flashbacks of Kithkin. trying to play five color control. I'm good, thank you.
You shouldn't be playing five color control then. Get beaten over the head. Those Kithkin, those guys were powerful, man. That tribe was pushed hard, and then we never saw them again. It's been like what, 12 years?
Return to Lorwyn.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can exist outside of Lorwyn.
You can find them somewhere. We're due for it. Yeah.
Okay, anyways, that's it from this for me. Oh, no, wait, there's one more. Canopy Tactician is cool. It's an elf. All
right.
3 and a green for a rare 3/3. Other elves you control get +1/+1, like all good elf lords do. And you can tap it for 3 green.
Okay.
How about good. That? Easy.
Elf EDH deck.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah, cool. And that's it for me. Anything you got here?
No, that's it. I didn't even want to talk about that guy.
Okay, and then last but not least, I just want to admire these showcase cards because they're awesome. I think they really nailed it. People were hoping for the metal themed showcase, kind of like the secret lair, like Assassin's Trophy, secret layers and stuff like
I
that.
Love it.
Those are very cool. I did not purchase them. Coming out of the holiday season, I just couldn't like. I couldn't pull the trigger on spending more money on games.
Yeah.
But I was tempted. I was very tempted. And so these are cool, though. I'm happy to see that they've done something equally cool with these frames. But I'd love to see some of the showcases do something a little more outlandish like that in the future, too, where it's not just, you know, like the formulaic, like this is what the frame looks like. Here's the art in the frame. Like, let's go, like, let's get weird, right? That would be cool.
All right, I'm done with that.
But these are weird. These are definitely weird, and I dig it.
Yep. So. Commander cards, do we want to talk about the two of them that exist?
Yeah, sure, if there's anything worth noting. I mean, the one we don't even know what foretell means yet, but... Raynar the Ever-Watchful. It's a spirit. It's 2 white-blue for a spirit. Flying Vigilance for a 2/3. The first card you foretell each turn costs 0 to foretell. Now, is foretell... It's probably like Forecast, right? Remember Forecast? You could...
It's probably like Forecast with Exile because it probably has to connect to something in this guy's ability of whenever you exile one or more cards from your hand.
Yeah.
Or permanence from the battlefield. So it's probably something to do with exiles card from your hand... Do a thing, it comes back, or you cast it, or something like that.
So to finish that, whenever you exile one or more cards from your hand and or permanents from the battlefield, create a 1/1 spirit token with flying. And that is what he says.
Yep.
So
not a bad commander if you get a bunch of foretell cards. Also not a bad commander for just blinks, because it's just like, whenever you blink, you make a lot of fire. So, not terrible, but not the best.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what foretell means, but...
Yeah. Also, if you're playing Commander, this randomly interacts with Rest in Peace favorably, because I think you are the exiler of the cards.
Oh.
So you just make spirits. I'm not 100% sure. Huh.
That would be really good.
But I don't know if it's like the permanent dies, instead of dying, it gets exiled, so you get a 1/1 spirit? I don't know how that works.
Let's check the comments, because someone probably brought it up. Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, no one's mentioned that. I don't see any discussion on the...
I feel like that's the same as Rest in Peace and you killing things, but whatever. I'm dumb. Judge. The other one is Lathril. Blade of the Elves, 2 black green for a legendary creature, Elf Noble, 2/3, Menace. Whenever Lathril Blade of the Elves deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 Elf Warrior green creature tokens. Tap 10 untaps elves you control, and Lathril. Each opponent loses 10 life, and you gain 10 life.
Yep. Yeah, there you have it.
So it's just a good Elf commander. Just untap it a bunch. You get to play Bolas of Citadel in your Elf deck. You pump this thing to absurd proportions, attack with it, make a bunch of elves, untap it, make your opponents take 30, keep going with your Bolas of Citadel, repeat process.
Yeah, this guy is like a heartbreak waiting to happen in Commander. It's like you're trying to accumulate a bunch of elves, like they're definitely going to die before you get to 10. I mean, the writing's on the table, like how many you have to reach, your opponents can all see.
Yeah, Get the eight elves, Wrath. Get the nine elves, bolt this guy. You know, stuff like that.
The good news is you don't. They don't have to have. They don't have to be like hasted because he taps them. So like you can have him without summoning sickness, and then you can just like play a bunch of elves, and then he can tap and tap the new elves. So there's that.
True.
All right. Cool. True. There you have it. That's Kaldheim so far. Or Kaldheim. We'll be back in 2 weeks, where we'll likely have a bunch of spoilers to talk about. After that, I'm sure we'll have tons more after the holidays.
All right. Happy New Year and happy holidays, however you celebrate them. And we'll see you next year.
Goodbye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.